CBS News. After a week and a half of martial law, Poland's communist leaders still claim the situation is getting better. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Dan Raviv is monitoring Warsaw Radio at our London listening post, and he has the latest.
The news broadcasts heard here from Warsaw are largely repetitious claims that industrial productivity is improving. There are brief references to continued worker resistance to martial law, such as the confirmation that almost 3,000 miners in southern Poland are continuing their sit-in strike inside two mines, while a nearby steel mill is also occupied by strikers. But Warsaw Radio gave much more attention to the announcement that the nighttime curfew would not be in effect tomorrow night for Christmas Eve. One broadcast said travel restrictions would also be eased for the holiday. Some problems mentioned on the radio include the bitterly cold weather and many workers staying home from work because of illness. But Warsaw's broadcasts to Polish sailors at sea have reassured them that life at home is being normalized. That's the word being used. Many sailors in Western ports have jumped ship and have asked for political asylum. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Another report from Warsaw says Prime Minister Jaruzelski may make a broadcast to the Polish people before the end of the week, but that one has not been confirmed. President Reagan will talk about Poland when he addresses the American people tonight in a broadcast to be heard over many of these CBS radio network stations at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. In advance of the broadcast, Mr. Reagan will meet with the National Security Council for the third time in 3 days. Presidential Counselor Edwin Meese says Mr. Reagan is examining a number of political, diplomatic, security, and economic measures that could be taken to prevent the Polish crisis from getting any worse. Now this message.
Oh, my back!
What happened, dear?
Well, I finished weeding the garden, so I decided to wash the car and...
And you overexerted yourself. Oh. Oh, Charlie, you never learn.
I know, but it's such a nice day and...
And now you've got a nagging backache.
Okay, I hear you.
Well, just sit there till I get you a couple of Doane's pills.
Yeah, Doane's pills, good idea.
And good advice. Doane's pills. When you have a simple nagging backache due to overexertion, stress, or strain... Taken as directed, this time-proven analgesic has brought temporary relief of minor backache pain to thousands of people. Doane's pills. They belong in every family's medicine cabinet.
Feel more comfortable tonight, dear?
Sure do.
That's good.
Those Doane's pills really work.
Get Doane's pills and get the better of a backache due to simple overexertion, stress, or strain. Doane's pills bring you the kind of welcome relief you may need. Available at drug counters or your favorite supermarket. Doane's pills. Use only as directed.
The Israeli parliament is now debating a motion of no confidence in the government of Prime Minister Menachem Begin. The motion was prompted by Begin's fiery attack on the United States in connection with a controversy over Israel's annexation of the Golan Heights. 3 weeks ago, Begin survived a no-confidence vote, 57-53. The vote on today's no-confidence motion is expected to lean more heavily in the Prime Minister's favor. In Italy, there's still no trace of U.S. Army Brigadier General James Dozier, who was kidnapped last Thursday by Red Brigade's terrorists. Yesterday, the Beirut office of the Italian news agency ANSA received an anonymous telephone call saying that Dozier's body would be found last night. But it wasn't, and Italian police believe the call was probably a hoax. The search goes on for General Dozier and his captors. Administration sources in Washington say President Reagan remains firmly opposed to the idea of a general tax increase, even though he faces the near certainty of a whopping deficit in the fiscal 1983 budget. However, they aren't ruling out the possibility that new sources of revenue will be proposed. The president is said to be sparing Head Start and the federal government's principal urban development programs from budget cuts. More news in a moment.
We can turn off the dryer now, Mrs. Sloan. Oh,
that's all right, Barbara. The longer I stay under the hairdryer, the less I eat.
Pardon?
I'm trying to diet, but I'm always hungry.
Oh, I used to have that problem.
You? You're slim. How do you control your appetite?
Deliciously, with AIDS candy.
AIDS candy?
Mm-hmm.
How can candy help you eat less?
AIDS is more than delicious candy. It's a diet plan. AIDS works two ways.
How?
The candy helps satisfy your hunger, and it has an effective appetite suppressant. So I eat less and lose weight deliciously.
Does AIDS candy contain a stimulant?
No stimulant. Nothing that can make you nervous. AIDS simply helps control your appetite so you eat less. I have some right here in my purse. Taste.
Mmm, they are delicious.
The AIDS diet plan lets you enjoy 2 AIDS before each meal.
And I'll be less hungry with AIDS?
Right.
Well, that's half the battle. I'll try AIDS.
Lose weight deliciously with the aid of AIDS. Available at drugstores and supermarkets everywhere. Use only as directed.
If you've ever wanted to own a circus, now may be your chance. The Clyde Beatty Cole Brothers Circus, 98 years old and struggling with financial problems, is up for sale. The owner poses only 2 conditions: that you can afford the price, which is something less than the $3 million he says it's worth, and that you keep the circus on the road. But you'd get a lot for your money, not only the big top, but 30 tractor trailers, a water truck, and 38 acres of land at winter quarters. And in addition, 13 elephants reportedly worth $25,000 apiece. So hurry, hurry, hurry. Dallas Townsend's...
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from 6 different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Roger Wilkins. Imagine a country where there is a problem about the color of people on television commercials and the language they will speak. To put the matter more clearly, imagine the problem of the distributor of a beer that blacks like very much, but whose advertising symbol is a white cowboy, something like our Marlboro Man. Imagine that the distributor has to go to the National Broadcasting Agency for permission to beam the commercials featuring the cowboy into black homes. And imagine the agency pondering the question for a while and then deciding that it is all right for the cowboy to be white if he speaks pure Zulu. Impossible, you might exclaim. There could be no country crazy enough to do that. Ah, my friends, sadly there is. It is called South Africa. The little imaginary story I just gave you comes out of a recent report in the New York Times. At the start of the new year, South Africa will introduce something new under the sun, apartheid television. Apartheid, as you know, is the official name South Africa gives to its system of segregation and oppression. The South Africans not only practice separation of the races socially, they mark off different places in the country for different racial groups to live. With regard to blacks, the plan would ultimately result in their living in a number of impoverished and phony independent states. All of them, under this plan, would be deprived of their South African citizenship. Now we have the ultimate in apartheid foolishness, separate television. Well, how is this to be enforced, you may ask? What's to prevent people from switching channels in their homes? Those clever white South Africans have figured that all out. Nothing but black dialects can be spoken on the black channel, so whites won't be able to understand what's going on there. The problem with the system comes the other way. Urban blacks have to know how to speak English and Afrikaans in order to take orders from white people under the existing system. A lot of them have already gotten an affinity for some of the white channel shows, so there's no guarantee that they won't be sneaking peeks at Dallas rather than slurping up the stuff on the black channel that the state broadcasting system has decided is good for them. As this is going on, Chester Crocker, our top Africa man at the State Department, says that the South African system is becoming less oppressive. Well, you can't prove it by the television policy, nor can you prove it by white South African businessmen whom the Washington Post recently reported to be quite unhappy with the slow pace of social change in their country. Maybe Mr. Crocker should be made to watch a few hundred hours of television programming in Zulu next year. This is Roger Wilkins for Spectrum.
6 personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
CBS News. Warsaw relaxes some, but coal miners and workers elsewhere in Poland continue their resistance to martial law. Good morning. I'm Charles Osgood, reporting on the CBS radio network. Official Polish broadcasts are still referring to the sit-in strike by 3,000 miners and steelworkers in Silesia, but Warsaw Radio is giving headline attention to the lifting of the martial law curfew on Christmas Eve, so Polish Catholics may attend midnight mass. And UPI's correspondent Ruth Gruber reports in a censored dispatch that most troops and other signs of military rule have been withdrawn from the streets of Warsaw. A letter is circulating in Sweden, a letter translators believe was written in Poland and smuggled out. It tells of the demonstration in the port city of Gdansk last week. The writer saying up to 40,000 people were involved in a pitched street battle with troops and tanks. Tonight, President Reagan plans to address the American people on the situation in Poland. It will be broadcast live over many of the CBS radio network stations at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. A spokesman says the president is considering an array of political, diplomatic, security, and economic measures the United States may take against the Warsaw government and the Soviet Union. More when CBS News continues.
The executive unemployment line grows longer as the recession deepens, and according to a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, no industry or region is immune. So have a pencil ready for an important offer from the Journal that can help keep you informed of news like this, happening anywhere in business that could affect your future and your company's future. Other Journal articles reported on how the deregulation of airlines has led to red-hot fare slashing, why all work and no play is becoming a problem for two career families, stocks some analysts say should not be in your portfolio, and why it might be wise to wait a while before setting up a 1982 individual retirement account. The Wall Street Journal. It's all the business news you need when you need it. Right now, you can get 26 weeks of the Journal, one for every business day of the week, for less than $1.60 per week. That's just $41 for 26 weeks, less than $1.60 per week. So if you're serious about business, in the continental U.S., call toll-free 800-228-6600. That's 800-228-6600, except in Nebraska. You'll be billed later.
Israel's parliament, the Knesset, is debating a no-confidence motion in the Begin government. Bruno Wassertile reports.
The motion was raised by the two-member Shinui faction, whose leader, Amnon Rubinstein, accused Prime Minister Menachem Begin of turning Israeli-American relations topsy-turvy, not the least because of last week's virtual annexation by Israel of the Syrian Golan Heights. Rubinstein charged that Begin, in a matter of weeks, changed from calling President Reagan our greatest friend to linking his actions with those of an anti-Semitic British general and comparing the president's language with that of Torquemada, the infamous prosecutor of the Spanish Inquisition. But there's little doubt here that the no-confidence motion will fail. It's believed that when the Knesset tally is counted, Begin's coalition will come out ahead by at least 5 to 10 votes. Bruno Wassertile, CBS News, at the Knesset in Jerusalem.
The Pentagon believes kidnapped General James Dozier is still alive. Last night, a spokesman described as a complete fabrication yesterday's claim of an anonymous telephone caller that the Italian Red Brigades had killed the general. But the Pentagon spokesman would not say why he was so sure the claim was unfounded. Gary Shepard in Verona, Italy, says authorities there remain mystified.
Authorities here have no idea whether General Dozier is still alive or has been murdered by the Red Brigade terrorists who kidnapped him last Thursday. As a matter of fact, they have no new clues in the case. They've set up roadblocks again today in several areas in northern Italy, hoping to catch some of the terrorists who might lead them to where the general is being held. But the bottom line is the trail is cold. There are no new clues. And authorities here have no idea when or if they'll ever find General Dozier.
Gary Shepard in Verona. A winter storm has buried parts of the Rockies under 5 feet of new snow, and more than half a foot of snow fell on parts of the Midwest within a span of 3 hours. Forecasters say the storm system is weird because it spawned a tornado as well as snow. More after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the seatbelt sign.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
I didn't know you were on this plane.
My monthly trip. Let's sit together.
Oh, I can't. I'm in the smoking section.
I was always in the smoking section, but I quit smoking.
Oh, yeah? I wish I could. I've even thought about joining one of those $300 group programs to see if I could break the habit.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to quit, and I tried Bantron.
Yeah?
Worked for me. And if you really want to quit smoking, Bantron will help you.
I sure do. Bantron.
Yeah, Bantron smoking deterrent tablets.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to quit smoking, Bantron will make it easier.
Well, how does it work?
Well, it helps cut down that craving for nicotine.
Bantron does that? To me, that's the whole ballgame.
And it has special buffers that make it work fast.
Oh, yeah?
Easy to take, too. One tablet after each meal.
Well, if Bantron is as good as you say it is...
There's one way to find out.
I'm gonna try Bantron.
Good.
So long, Joe.
See you, Mike.
Hey, next trip, maybe I can get out of the smoking section, huh?
Bantron tablets have the most effective formula you can buy to make it easier to quit smoking. The more you want to stop, the more Bantron will help you stop. Bantron can help you break the cigarette habit. Available at supermarkets and drugstores. Use only as directed.
Could it be that the recession, like the Grinch, is stealing some of the Christmas from the kids of America? Post offices across the nation processing the letters of children to Santa Claus say kids seem to be asking for less this year. Here's one touching request from a little girl named Mandy in Springfield, Ohio. Dear Santa Claus, she writes, Mom says you don't have as much money this year to make toys, so why not just bring me something? My sister and brother say they'll wait until next year. Charles Osgood, CBS News.
This is Spectrum on the CBS Radio Network. Personal opinion on issues of public interest from six different viewpoints. Now, one of those perspectives.
I'm Marianne Means.
Food is often an interesting reflection of the times, much more so than fashion, which seems to have degenerated into a boring squabble about the length of skirt hems. Some of our changing tastes are easy to understand. Our new emphasis upon fish and vegetarian dishes, as well as smaller portions with fewer sauces, follows naturally from our preoccupation with staying slim. Our embrace of convenience foods is the result of women leaving the kitchen for the office. But for the life of me, I can't figure out what is making chili one of the most popular items in the American diet these days. Actually, I like chili myself, but the fact that it tastes good doesn't seem like a sufficient reason somehow. Chili is essentially a simple stew made of ground or chopped meat, larded up with as much garlic, onion, cumin, oregano, tomato sauce, and chili pepper as the palate can take. It's supposed to feature beef, but if it is spicy enough, it can still be rather tasty with armadillo, rattlesnake, pork, chicken, goat, moose, bear, skunk, or venison. Until a few years ago, chili was primarily southwestern regional fare. It had no pretensions. It was often just called a bowl of red. It was served mostly in beer joints and humble cafes. It was considered best when it was so hot it blew off the roof of your mouth. Lyndon Johnson helped to nationalize and upgrade it by putting it on the White House menu, but still it didn't catch on right away. Now, suddenly, chili has class. Many of the better restaurants not only serve it, they make special claims for its virtues. At least one cookbook is devoted completely to the subject of chili. Elizabeth Taylor flies in her favorite version of the stuff from an elegant restaurant in Los Angeles. Fundraising galas feature chili cook-offs, which otherwise stuffy people take very seriously. Mail-order catalogs from exclusive stores push packets of chili makings as gifts. Chili making is taking on a lore of its own. The nation's most distinguished food critics have lectured on the evils of putting beans in the brew. Arguments rage in learned journals about the merits of using chopped chuck meat versus hamburger. The underlying explanation for the popularity of chili may be that these are hard times and it's cheap eats. Or perhaps it has to do with the fact that the Southwest, with all of its oil wells, is a new focus of interest. Or maybe we're just tired of mom's apple pie. This is Marianne Means for Spectrum.
Six personal points of view on Spectrum. Opinions not necessarily those of this station or the CBS radio network.
CBS News. Poland's martial law council relaxes some restrictions, but protests continue. I'm Jay Jones reporting on the CBS radio network. In southern Poland, 3,000 coal miners remain dug in, staging sit-down strikes in their shafts. Steel workers nearby continue to hold a factory. Workers at Baltic shipyards remain on strike. But reports coming out of Poland indicate that in Warsaw, troops and other signs of martial law have disappeared from the streets. And official broadcasts are playing up the cancellation of the nighttime curfew on Christmas Eve, so Catholics may attend traditional midnight mass. Sources close to the Vatican say Solidarity leader Lech Wałęsa is being treated well in detention, and military authorities are trying to persuade Wałęsa to enter into talks. Tonight, President Reagan plans to devote part of his annual Christmas message to Poland, and his remarks will be carried live over many of these CBS radio network stations at 6 p.m. Pacific time. This morning, the president meets again with his National Security Council, and aides say an array of possible sanctions against the Polish government and the Soviet Union are under consideration. More when CBS News continues.
Joe, wake up. Why did you buy such a noisy clock?
Noisy? It's just a normal ticking.
Well, it sounds like Big Ben to me.
Hey, why don't you go back to sleep?
I can't get to sleep. I took an aspirin, too.
Aspirin? But that's for a headache. Hey, try Compose. It's great when occasionally you can't get to sleep. Yeah, I think I might have some.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Taken as directed before you go to bed, Compose helps make you drowsy so you can fall asleep when you want to fall asleep at bedtime.
Martha. Martha, time to get up.
Oh, is it morning already?
What were you saying about not being able to get to sleep?
Oh, not after you gave me that Compose. It really helped me doze off.
It's Compose for you.
Headache? Take aspirin. Sleepless night? Take Compose. C-O-M-P-O-Z. Take only as directed. Get composed from your druggist and insist upon the new formula.
A lawyer for former labor union official Mario Montoro is defending his client against Labor Secretary Raymond Donovan, who calls Montoro a damnable and contemptible liar. At a press conference, Donovan cited Montoro's criminal record for heroin and weapons possession. Attorney Arthur Schwartz acknowledges that.
While Mr. Montoro does have a criminal record, it is an old one, and Mr. Donovan's injection of such invective into the controversy now surrounding him has a false and hypocritical ring to it. Instead of dealing with the substance of the charges against him, he seeks to paint his accusers as lowlifers and the various serious allegations against him as innuendo.
Montoro is charging that an official of the construction company Donovan was associated with gave a bribe to a union official in Donovan's presence. The labor secretary is calling for appointment of a special prosecutor who he says will expose the falsity of the allegations. A Pentagon spokesman last night described as a complete fabrication yesterday's report that Red Brigade's kidnappers had killed American General James Dozier. In Verona, Italy, Gary Shepard says authorities there also don't believe it.
Authorities are discounting the telephone call to the Beirut office of the Italian news agency to the effect that the general is dead. They think the call was a hoax. They're proceeding with their searching throughout northern Italy, checking deserted houses, especially in resort areas where there are many homes that are unoccupied this time of year, proceeding as they have been for the past 6 days, trying to locate the general and his kidnappers. They've been unsuccessful, but they totally now discount that telephone call that the general is dead, and they don't believe it. They think it was a hoax.
Gary Shepard in Verona. The Begin government has defeated a no-confidence motion in the Israeli parliament by a vote of 57 to 47. That motion prompted by Begin's vitriolic attack on the United States, opponents charging the prime minister with turning Israeli-American relations topsy-turvy. More news after this.
How do you recapture the spirit of Christmas past? You might try opening a Whitman sampler. There's around 140 years of Christmas tradition inside that sampler box. And many generations of Americans have enjoyed Christmas just a little more because they reached into the Whitman sampler and sampled one of the delicious chocolates inside, all tasting of good times and good Christmases. Whitman's, the gift America's been giving ever since 1842.
He touched me.
Touch her with Chantilly, and suddenly nothing is the same. Perfume, spray mist, dusting powder.
He touched me, he touched me, and suddenly, nothing is the same.
This Christmas, touch her with Chantilly by Ubigon.
The fate of the Equal Rights Amendment appears to be riding on a federal judge's decision in Boise, Idaho today. Judge Marion Callister is scheduled to rule on two vital issues, whether Congress violated the Constitution by extending the ratification deadline, and whether states may withdraw ratification. Eleanor Smeal, the president of the National Organization for Women, says the decision will spell life or death for ERA. Jay Jones, CBS News.